Hallelujah. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God? Well, you know, Jesus is here, and if he's here in that kind of gladness, he is here. So how many of you are glad that he's here? He's worthy. He knows. He knows our hearts. For me, truly a privilege to be here this evening and to have the opportunity to share. So I bring you greetings from the choir. Amen. It's a joy to be here. And I know that God has a word for you. Definitely, he has a word for you. And he can use anybody who says, God, use me. So I'm being used right now, but maybe tomorrow it's going to be you. So this is for everyone. God wants to use you in every place that you are. You just have to be willing for the Lord to do it. Amen. So what we're going to do, we're going to open our scriptures in the first book of the Bible, which is called Genesis. And we're going to open that in the chapter number 16. Genesis 16. Amen. Number one. And when you have it, you can say amen. Hallelujah. We're going to open up in a word of prayer because we need the Holy Spirit to help us in here. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that you are already here, God. Father, I ask you right now, God, that you will touch the hearts, God. Father, I ask you right now, if there's anything stopping the ears to hear your word, God, clear it out, Lord Jesus. Unplug the ears, God. I ask you, God, that you will prepare the hearts, God. Anybody in here who's feeling down, depressed, discouraged, today is their night of deliberation, God. And I ask you right now that you, Holy Spirit, will descend. And as your word is being spoken, that you will start quicken the hearts, God, and that you will move in the congregations in signs, in wonders, in healings, and in the demonstration of your power, because in this place you have preeminence, and we have come here to exalt the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, this book in here that you have here is the Word of God, and I'll tell you, this is the most amazing book that you could ever find. Many people spend a lot of money in clothes, shoes, purses, and they just don't have a good Bible, meaning that just a little Bible, and you can get a Bible that you can study the Word with. And I invite you today to invest in the Word of God, because this is the Word that's going to set you free, that whenever you have a question, it will bring you the answer. But if you don't have this book, it's going to be very difficult for you to get your answers. Amen? So the Bible says that this book has been written for our understanding, for our examples. Like when people do research and they do surveys, they usually take a sample of the community, whatever they're going to investigate. Well, the world is so big, so God got a sample of people in here, and you can find yourself in here. People with your same characters, with your same traits, right there in the Bible. So if you want to know how people did and if they did good, and you can see the actions that they took, and how they got, that was the consequences, it's right here in the Word of God. As I said before, it is written for our learning, so we can learn from it, for our admonition. So what we're going to do today, we're going to read the lives of three people in this passage of Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. And the title of my message today is "The God That Sees Me and Hears Me." The God that sees me and hears me. You see, God is seeing you right now. He's hearing you right now. He's been seeing you for a long time, and you weren't aware. The other day, I was putting eye drops in the store over there in the pharmacy, and when I went like that, I saw the camera looking at me. I'm like, oof, they're going to think I'm stealing something in here. I was like, I wasn't aware that there's people over there looking at everything that you're doing in the aisles, and I was like, wow. And then I thought, well, God is watching me, God is seeing me, and God is hearing me all the time. Let's see what the Word of God says in chapter 16 of Genesis, number 1. It says in here, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar." This is the situation. Sarah was the wife of Abram in that time. And God giving them a promise. God told Abraham, look, get out of that country where you live. I'm going to give you a descendant. Like you look at the stars, look at the sun. You're going to have a lot of family, a big, big community of people that you're not going to be able to count. And Abraham left the city where he used to live and went pursuing the promise that God has given him. And also, obviously, his wife. But at this point in the scripture, Sarah was already 76 years old and had never been able to bear a child. Now, you have to understand how stressful this situation was. To be 76 years old, waiting to have a child, and you're barren, that was very discouraging. And I know right now there's people in here that you've been looking for something, and you've been waiting, and nothing has happened. And you're very discouraged. You're like, what happened, God? Did you hear me? I've been waiting all these years. What am I doing wrong? And there's no answer. So look what happened in here. Unfortunately, now let's see what's happening in the heart of Sarah. That's what her name was, Sarah, in this time. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Who's she accusing? She's saying, well, God is the one who's stopping me. I could have a child, but he's the one who's not letting me do it. He's the one who's not letting me bear a child. And many of us get in the same mood when we say, well, God, it is you. You don't hear me. God, it is you. You don't open the door. It is you. We accuse God. And that's what's happening because she was frustrated. And when we get in that mood of like accusing God, most likely we start not waiting on him and we decide to take matters into our own hands. And that's the worst thing you can ever do. So today, if you're about to make a mistake, stop. Listen, because God wants to speak to you. Listen. And let's look what happened with the life of Sarai. Look what she says. She goes and speaks to her husband in chapter 2. As we said, she has said, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. And she said, I pray thee, go into my maid that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. This was the worst agreement they have in their life. That was the worst decision, you know. Because now they have a situation and now they're getting somebody else involved in the situation that it was between them and God. They're about to do their own thing. You have to know that, like our brother was preaching early in the second service, that all of us are in a process. Some people in here don't know Jesus. Some people just found out about Jesus, they're getting to know the Lord. Some people already like for a long time with the Lord, walking with Jesus. But all of us have different processes, and that's what this is written in here. But sometimes when we're walking with the Lord, and we know about God, but then we start putting away the promises of God and trusting in ourselves. We are, what we do, we believe in our own efforts. We are called that walking in your flesh, doing your own things, not depending on God, not depending on the Spirit of God. And now in this point, Abram and Sarah have agreed that they're going to find the solution for what they've been looking for. God told them they're going to have children, but now they're looking their way how to fulfill that promise in their own strength. Many of you, many of us have been trying. We heard something from God or we have a hope and we're trying to get the answer in our own strength, in our own resources. And usually, 100% of the time, when you are doing your things without consulting the Lord, everything goes into failure. And let's look what happened in here. It says in here, verse 3. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram to be his wife. Wow. She comes and she takes this servant, which was a slave, and said, you know, here it is. Take it, and I'm going to be expecting children through her. And it breaks my heart when I think about Hagar because I'm thinking, wow, she had no idea what Sarah's thinking, maybe, and now she is involved. And I was wondering, how did Hagar felt when they told her, you know what, through you, we're going to have children. If I would have been Hagar, I tell you, I think I would have gone running and say, no, and hide and escape, right, scare. But then I'm thinking, who was Hagar? Well, Hagar was a slave. She wasn't from the land of Abram. She was from Egypt. She had other gods, other culture, other way of growing, other things that that she had grown with her. And she had seen Abram and Sarah. They talk about God. They worship God. And she's wondering, oh, look at them. They only have one God. We have a lot of gods in Egypt. And I wonder, what was her reaction? But maybe, since Hagar was of another group, maybe she thought, wow, you mean you're going to choose me out of everybody here? Wow. She says, this is my ticket. From slave to be Abram's wife, that's a big jump. Can you imagine that? She's saying, wow, this is the honor. I mean, we're talking about Abram. He was a very rich man. Think about a rich man here in New York City. I'm not going to give names because I don't publicity for them. I don't talk about Jesus. He's the only one worthy. Amen. But think about you having the chance that they say, you know what? We have this rich man here and he would like to marry you, or this rich woman and she would like to marry you. That's an opportunity. That's a change of lifestyle. And she says, wow, you mean that if I have a baby, this is going to be the chance of my life. I'm going to be able to be different than the rest. I've been a slave all my life. I'm going to change. A baby is going to make the difference in my life. And she, for what I see, she didn't run away. She stayed there. And she agreed. Now the three of them are in disagreement. And I believe that through this opportunity, Hagar thought, this is my chance to be validated, to be appreciated for who I am. And I'm going to go ahead and show my qualities. And I'm pretty sure, I have a very vivid imagination. And I was thinking, how about if it was Hagar that came with the idea to Sarah? How about if she was combing her hair one day? And she said, you know, Sarah, back in Egypt, people do this, you know. You're already 76 years old. This is your chance. I mean, why don't you look somebody among your girls in here? Somebody, you know, that have nice hair, good teeth, like you know, to have, you know, you never know, Sarah. You already are in your age. Because for what I see here, she married immediately. Sarah came with Hagar's name in her mouth. She said, Hagar, this is the one. And Hagar all the time is thinking, this is my ticket to change, to move out of this life that I have. A lot of people come to New York City because they're looking for the ticket to change their life. A lot of you, maybe you don't say it here loud, you're like keeping it quiet, but you know you have tried. You've been looking for that ticket. And you say, maybe a relationship with so-and-so, maybe my education, maybe exposure to this kind of environment. And because everything inside of you is looking to be validated, to be appreciated, to be wanted. Don't know. I mean, everybody wants to be wanted. All the movies that they do, that's always about somebody loving somebody. People are longing to be loved, to be appreciated, to be seen. And I'd say, as I say in the title, there's a God over there that sees you. There's a God that hears you. And tonight he's seeing you. And he's hearing you. And he has a very special message for you. And let's continue and hear what happened with this sad story. Genesis 16:4. And look at this. This is now Hagar. And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Oh, now we're seeing what was deep in the heart of Hagar. No longer about, yes, Mrs. Sarah, this is for you, serving you. No more. I'm like, listen, I have the baby. You nobody. And she's walking, and she says, look at that 76-year-old. I'm better than her. She's like, Abraham's going to love me because I'm bearing his child. I'm special. I'm different. And she's walking all proudful, looking. This is what sin does. When you do something wrong, you and your mind, you're real in a fake world. You are out of reality. There's this slave looking down on her mistress. She forgot who she was. She's thinking she's better. And she's looking down. She's daring to look down on her owner. And look what happened. And one of the things that I want to mention, I said, God, she could have been barren too. Why did she have the baby? She could have closed her womb. And I wonder, and I say, sometimes, you know, you do your own thing and you get results. And you're like, hey, I did this by myself and look what I got. And that's how sin is. The Bible says the sin is very enjoyable, but it is for a season. After that, you're empty. After that, you're bitter. After that, you're disappointed. In the Bible, there's a man called Moses that the Bible says that Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, in that time the people of God were slaves, than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He said, no, you know what? Yes, sin is pleasurable, and I mean, you can enjoy it. People can say, you know what? Hey, I can go and sleep around until you get a sickness. And you're like, oh, wow, this is what happened. You can be robbing and stealing and getting money, but then you get caught. Wow. So sin is enjoyable for a season, but then let's face the reality at this moment. And now Hagar is getting ready to be wake up. Pay attention. I mean, this Bible, you guys, again, another commercial. Get one Bible. You find all kinds of stories. And you're like, wow. And these are not just stories. This is real life. This is real people, okay? So don't just like, oh, he's a cute little story. No, it's real. This took place. That's what it's written. Amen. So it says in here. Now, Genesis 16:5. Then Sarai said to Abraham, it's all your fault. That's in the New Living Translation. King James, New King James says, my wrong be upon you. I have given you my maid into your embrace. I myself gave her the privilege of sleeping with you. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. Sarah is now frustrated. She's like, look at this, who she thinks she is. Look what is happening, Abraham. And I said, wow, you're accusing Abraham when you are the one who came with the scheme, you know? But then I think Abraham has a fault, because when people get married and they make a decision and they're in agreement, it's one flesh. So both of them are guilty in this story, right? Both Sarah and Abraham. And I thought, wow, maybe Abraham could have answered and said, but it was you. You started with all this. But I get impressed and I said, wow, Abraham didn't continue the argument. So for some of you that like to argue, stop and leave it there. Why to keep going, keeping going? And I guess we'll just be like Abraham. Learn from him. Those who are married. Praise God for the single ones. Woo! We don't have to deal with a problem. Don't you thank God for that? Hallelujah. I'm very grateful for my state. Thank you, Jesus. Every day, I thank God for that. Now, listen to this. Let's go now to Genesis 16:6. This is Abraham. But Abraham said unto Sarai, now pay attention to this. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. We just heard that Sarah is very upset. And now her husband is saying, that's your maid. Do whatever you please. I can imagine Sarah going, yes, yes. Hagar! And coming after her. This is their chance. I'm going to do whatever you please me. I'm going to get you, Hagar. Again, Sarah, the one who knew about God, is acting in the flesh. And many Christians in here, many Christians, when you don't do what the Lord tells you to do, you're just like Sarah, including me. Including me. I'm not just saying you. Me too. And you can see how horrible. I mean, haven't you met people that say, I'm Christian, they really mean? Have you met people like that? I have. Have you met people like that? And some of you, you can look at the mirror. We can look at the mirror and say, that is the mean person, me. Us. When we are doing things according to our own desires. And it breaks my heart when I think about now Hagar wakes up and says, what was I thinking? I'm a slave. What was I thinking? And now Sarah's going and being super mean. I don't know how evil and how hard the intentions of Sarah were. Maybe she wanted her to lose the baby. I don't know. I'm not going to put words. I don't know. But the Bible says that she was being so mean and she was afflicting her. She was being dealing with her harshly, says the Bible. And she was being so mean, says in here, when Sarai dealt harshly with her, Hagar fled from her presence. I don't know if she was making her work hard, lifting up things, and now she's pregnant, and she's like, no, I'm going to lose my baby. I cannot be here no more. And she went running. And that's what happened with many of us when we have done what God never intended for us. Or when we've been in a situation, you did something, and now you're ashamed, you're embarrassed, you're in pain, you're running away, you're hurting. Nobody now was clapping for Hagar. She was just like an experiment in there. We wanted her. Let's see, we have the baby. Now she's not working. It's not good for us. Get rid of her. But I thank God that he was watching. I thank God that he was looking at Hagar. I thank God that he was seeing her pain. Because she had a heart too. And she was hurting. She made a big mistake. Yeah. But now she's fleeing. And when you are distressed, when you are in pain, when you are in suffering, you're not even thinking right. And you go to the worst places. And many people in here have gone to places you never imagined you would be in. The Bible says that she went to the desert. What good you're going to find in the desert? You're pregnant. You need to have food. You need to have nourishment. You need to be taken care of. When it's your time to deliver, who's going to assist you if you are by yourself? But I love my Jesus and I praise my God that the Bible says that the angel of the Lord went and looked for her. The angel of the Lord found her. And he's looking for you today. The angel of the Lord has been watching over you and you have not realized. And he has found you. I love the word of God that he is so specific. He says exactly where he found her. He said that they found it by a fountain. Genesis 16, 7 to 8. Says in here, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And the angel saw her, heard her pain. I don't know, she's fleeing. Most likely she's trying to hide. She doesn't want nobody to see her. But God went and looked for her. And he doesn't come and say, you, look, shame on you. Who you thought you were? You were trying to be better than Sarai? No way. You loser. If you ever hear those kind of words towards you, that is not God. That is the devil. The Bible says that the devil has come to destroy you, to kill you, annihilate you. But Jesus has come to give you life and life eternal if you come to him. But one of the things that I always tell people, when you have done wrong, it is important that you recognize your state. You have to know, you know what? I messed up. I blew it. I need help, Lord Jesus. You need to recognize that you need the Lord. You know that you try hard, you did this, and nothing has satisfied you. It satisfied you for a little bit, but now it's empty. Think about a girl and a boy. Oh, we're going to go ahead and move together. And now 2 months later, the guy is hitting her. Where it is? Where's everything? Where's the joy? Everything has a consequence when we don't do it on the way of the Lord. But I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his love, his passionate love that he has for you. You know, Jesus loved you so much that you did so much wrong. And what you needed is to be to pay with your life and die, dead, eternal life. But he said, no, I love them so much. Even though they did wrong, I'm going to give my life for them because I love them. Because I see their pains, because I see their weakness. I see their pain in their eyes. I love them. And Jesus is telling you tonight, I love you. I care about you. You're precious to me. Everybody forgot about you. When you have money, everybody was your friend. Now you have nothing, nobody even talks to you. They ignore you. Maybe you lost your home, you're in the streets. Oh, no, yeah, when you used to look nice and nice clothes, but now look at you. No, we don't even talk to me. But God's not like that. You know, I love the scripture because, like I said before, it has different characters. And I was checking in the Bible, and I was like, well, okay, in Genesis, God speaks to Eve, you know, when she sinned and fell with her husband and everything. But I was keep looking, and there's not another woman after, obviously, Abraham that God has spoken. But there is Hagar, the angel of God. God, the creator of the world, the one who made the stars, the moon, the sun, came and looked for one slave? That is the love of God. This is evidence that God loves you, that God cares. And he's thinking about you. He sees you. He hears you. You say, well, nobody knows my tears. God sees everything. Every of your tears, he keeps them. Do you collect your tears? You don't. But guess God collects your tears? Oh, that is love, isn't it? That is love. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. Amen. So there is the angel of the Lord in verse 7 and 8 in the chapter 16. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? I cannot stop to be amazed that God, the creator of all the universe, that knows everything, takes the time to ask you questions. He takes the time to ask you questions. He wants to know what's in your heart. He already sees. He sees everything. But you know what? My God is a God of relationship. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to know you. He knows everything about you. But he wants to know, what do you have to say? He wanted to hear the side of the story through her lips. He wanted to know how she felt. Express to me. And God is telling you to you today, come, open your heart to me, express how you feel. I'm gonna come and heal you. I'm gonna come and restore you. I'm gonna come and lift you up. Speak to me. Come to me, says Jesus. All those who are tired, all those who are weary, and I will give you rest. The angel is asking Hagar in here. He's identifying you or Sarah's maid, you know. Where are you going? Where are you coming from? And where are you going? And she could only answer one question. She could only answer where she was coming from. Because she didn't know where she was going. See? When you're lost, you have no direction. There's no hope for you. You're hopeless. But she said, Lord, here I am. I'm fleeing from my mistress, you know. That's what he said. I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. And I like chapter 16, verse 9, that says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. You mean, God, you want me to go back where that crazy Sarah? She's trying to kill me, Lord. No, I'm going to go there. No way. That woman is crazy. I just came from her, Lord. But God says, return to Sarah. And not only that, submit to her hand. I know many people in here are saying, God, I just want to be out of the situation. I just don't want to be. You're trying to flee. And you go here, you all know the mess. And you, no. Sometimes God says, you know what? The situation where you're being a failure, God wants to make you new, and he's going to give you the strength. And he says, go. If he says go, you obey the Lord because he knows better. You don't know, but God knows better. So don't let your imagination, don't let your mental thinking stop you. God gives you a direction. Go and follow him. And the most amazing thing that I find in here is that, you know what? Even though Hagar was a slave, God gave her a promise. God gave her a promise. She was not just an ordinary slave. Oh, she was carrying a precious seed. Yes, Abraham and Sarah were trying to do an experiment. But you know what? You're not playing with God. You cannot put things under the rock and say, okay, wait, we made a mistake. Oop, let's move on. No. We're talking about a life. We're talking about a baby that is about to be born. I like my pastor Ben that he always says, we never choose to come to the world. You didn't choose who were going to be your parents. You cannot choose that. But you can choose where you're going to go when you're living in the earth. If you seek God, if you give your heart to Jesus, if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to go to heaven. He's going to write your name in the book of life. But if you choose to do your own thing, God is telling you, come, I'm going to restore you, save you, repent from your sins, and you keep doing your thing, you're going to go to another place, which is called hell. And it's real. Hell is real. It's a real place. Amen? But that's not for you. God has wonderful plans, wonderful things. So let's go ahead and look what God is saying to Hagar. It says in here, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, verse 10, so that they shall not be counted for multitudes. Behold, you are with a child, and you shall bear a son. In that time, there was no ultrasounds. And she has the baby inside. She had no idea what it is. It could have been a girl, twins. You know. But God is telling you, no, 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 no. You're going to have a multitude. Big nations out of your womb. And the baby that you have is a baby boy. I'll tell you. When you have God speaking to you, everything changes. I mean, your mind becomes clear. If you were without direction, now you have a direction. I'm going to have a child. His name is going to be Ishmael. And I love this word, Ishmael. I didn't know what it meant till I looked for it. Ishmael means God has heard my affliction. Say with me, Ishmael. God has heard my affliction. God has heard your affliction. You have a pain. You're going through different circumstances. Maybe you're going through something physical, an illness. I'll tell you, God's heard your affliction. Say Ishmael. And so God told Hagar that she was going to have a baby boy. He's going to be, there are going to be a lot of nations through her. And he also gave her even, he told her what kind of characters he was going to be. But we're not going to get into that right now. But he gave her a promise. Now, when you have a promise from the Lord, I'll tell you, who cares Sarah? Who cares Abraham? I'm going in there. I'm going to go and submit myself to Sarah. Because Hagar was not the same girl. I believe that she came back to the camp and she's walking. And everybody, look, didn't you flee? Oh my God, now they're going to beat her up. But Sarah came with a promise because God had met her. She came with a promise that there was something in her womb, a baby. There was a baby in her womb that was going to be a descendant of generations and generations of people that she was not going to be able to count. And when she walked into the camp, I believe that there was a radiance about her. There was a difference because you know what? When you encounter God, there's something different about you. God changes you. God changes you. You can be the worst sinner. God changes you. And she came. And all this information that we know her from her because she wasn't with somebody else. And how Abraham found out, she had to tell him. She came and testified and said, you know what? I was fleeing from you guys. But on the way to Shur, an angel found me. The angel of the Lord found me. And he said, this and this and this. I believe that when Sarah saw her and heard what Hagar said, she's like, oh, I better not get into that. I already made many mistakes. I'm going to leave her alone. The Bible doesn't say that Sarah continued to afflict Hagar. I don't see that. I don't see that. I believe that the fear of God came into that place and said, wow, we were messing up with the stuff of God, but look what God has done. And tonight, there's people in here that they feel like Hagar. You feel lonely. You feel empty. You feel taken advantage of. Used up. Betrayed. Forgotten. Despised. And God says, come. I will give you life. I will give you life eternal. One of the things that I like about this scripture that you can read is about what Hagar said. And she said in verse 13, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, I also hear, seeing him who sees me. She recognized that God has seen her. She recognized that God had been there for her. And I tell you tonight, God is here for you. He wants to embrace you. You've been trying so much. Don't go to get to a worse situation than where you are. Today is the day of salvation. She says, come to me. Repent. Recognize that you have made a mistake. Recognize that you have a need of me. And I'm going to come and heal you. I'm going to go ahead and restore you. I'm going to go ahead and change your status. Because you see, when we are from the devil, yes, we're slaves to sin. You know, if you ever did something bad, that's sin. And if you did only one, you're slave. Lying, killing, stealing, doing all kinds of bad things. You're a slave. But the Bible says he who has the Son is set free. And the Bible also says that if you will come, says in here, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, listen to this, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will hear. And I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And now look what God says. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers made. So God in here, in this place, has his eyes open and his ears are attentive. And what I'm going to ask you is to go ahead and bow your head right now and think about the areas. I'm going to talk to people that don't know Jesus. This is your day to come and receive him. Lindo, you don't know. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 3. I didn't know much theology, but I felt his love in my heart. And since then, a few years later, here I am with Jesus in victory and crazy about him. And that could be also your story if you give your heart to the Lord. And now for you, if you are a Christian, that you know about God, but you have lost hope in the promises that God has given you. God says to you and to everyone in here, the promises that he says is that the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God is giving you a future and a hope. There's no condemnation about that. God wants something better for you. And so today, I'm going to invite you to come into this place. As you stepped in front, you're making a commitment. I always, when I go to the nursing home, I always tell the people, when you get married, many people have gotten married and maybe their husband's wife have passed away. And I say, when you were in front of the altar and they say, would you take so-and-so as your wedded husband? What do you say? Then you were just like, you have to say yes, right? Yes. You have to speak or motion that you say yes. And God says to you, to same with you, come and receive me. He says, with your mouth, you confess for salvation. So there's power with your mouth. So you come and he says, if you confess Jesus, he says he's going to confess us in front of his Father. What a blessing. So I invite you right now as the musicians come, and I would like to see if they can sing the song, The Stand. You stood before my failure. I love the song. And I'm going to invite you to come. And if you need healing tonight, come. Because God's going to heal you tonight. If you need strength, come. I'll tell you, God has so much for you. Come and receive. Come. The invitation is available. Come. Come unto the Lord. Amen. Yes, stand up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, lift up your hands right now. Oh, Father God, we come and we stand in your presence, Jesus. Father, look everyone in here, God. Father, we have made mistakes, but for we come, Lord Jesus, and we ask you that you will touch us, God. Come and repeat with me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all the bad things that I have done. I repent, Lord. And I invite you tonight to come and heal my heart. Come and restore me, Lord. I don't want to be the same person. And I will not be the same person. From this moment, I renounce everything that I have done in my life. I ask you, God, that you will cleanse me through the sacrifice you did in Calvary. I ask you for forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my life. I declare it that you will come into my life. That you will change me. And that you will make me like you. Thank you for your forgiveness, Jesus. And write my name in the book of life. And help me grow in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to pray for anybody in here who's struggling with sickness, even from the congregation. We believe that there is healing in Jesus. So if you have a sickness, something that you need, lift up your hand right now so we can see it. A lot of people being afflicted. A lot of people. Do you believe that God can change you and heal you? Like our brother was saying, we need to have faith. We hear the miracles with Brenda. She could be dead right now. But there was somebody who came and said, your daughter's going to leave. And you know, she's here praising the Lord so beautifully. Rocky, God gave his sight again. And God can do that for you if you would only ask. Some people like me took years, 6 years waiting for God to heal me from arthritis. But he did. And guess what? I never lost hope because I knew the Bible said that he healed the lame, the blind, the deaf. So I believed it. And if he wouldn't give it to me that day, I kept asking. Because you see, for God, there's no one day. It's not like for God, one day can be several years. That concept of time is different with God. But God is here and he wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. So if you need healing, lift up your hand right now. And we're going to pray. But I want to ask you to also pray with your lips. I want you to be in agreement with me. And you know, we don't have to touch you. The Holy Spirit is going to touch you. You're going to come and give testimony. We're going to rejoice with Jesus. Amen. So let's go. But we go ahead. If you have any doubt or belief, cast it out. It's not going to help you. That doesn't help you. You believe and say, God, I'm going to be desperate. And you know, when people get desperate, Jesus notices. He's like, I'm going to have to heal him because he keep asking. He keep asking. She keeps asking. So, amen. So, do you have your faith with you? Do you have to have it? Because we know without faith, it is impossible, right? To please him. He loves when you have faith. So, let's get ready. Lift up your hand right now. Hallelujah, Father God, we come into, come on, you have to pray too. You have to pray. Open your mouth and pray. Father God, we come right now as one congregation. Father, you can see, you are the God that sees, you are the God that hears, and right now you're looking at your people, Father. You're seeing, Father God, their hands lifted up, testifying that there's a need. There's a need of healing. There's a need of restoration, God. Father, we come because you are the only one that we can come and find answers, God. So right now, we cried out, Lord Jesus, with our sickness. We cried out with our pain. And we ask you, God, that you will heal us. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Come and descend in power. Right now, God, in the congregation. This is your temple. This is your place. You are preeminent. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and descend and touch your people, God. Touch your people, God. Flow in healing, restoration, and strength, God. Right now, God, start touching eyes. Start touching stomachs. Start touching backs. Start touching every problem that these people may have, Father God. Any cancer, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Any arthritis, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Any problems with the lungs, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Any problems with breathing, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Any sickness that these people are crying out, Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, for you are the healer. Father, you heal my brother. You heal my sister. You heal me. And there's a lot of people that can testify in here that you're the healer, God. So we ask you, God, that you will touch them, Father God. We need you, God. We're desperate for you, God. And we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have heard us, God. We thank you that you see our afflictions. We thank you, God, that you are aware of the things that are afflicting us, God. And I ask you, God, that you will remove the pain out of the bodies over here in this place. I pray thee, Lord. I thank you, God, that I don't have to scream because you hear us, God. You listen to the people that have soft-spoken, the ones that are loud. You listen the same, God. But you're looking for lives, God, that will serve you. So I ask you that everyone in here that have lifted their hands will serve you, God. That they will give their lives. And as they serve you, God, that you will heal them. As they go and testify, you will heal them. As they go as those lepers, they were not healed right away. But when they were walking towards the priest, the healing took place, Lord. So I ask you, like the 10 lepers, that everybody as we leave, healing will start happening in their bodies, that you will quicken them. Maybe tonight as they're sleeping, maybe tomorrow at work, all of a sudden they start feeling different. It is because you are touching them, God. It is because you are healing them, Jesus. And I thank you that the miracles happen today still, and that we are a God. You're a God of the supernatural, and we receive you, healing God. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.